welcome to Land Nation.
There were a few points in that that I thought were pretty well timed.
It started a little late on my end, but...
But I actually think it worked out pretty well, though, because I remember thinking I was at a really good time when, like pull up and, like, when you see them stop in the wagon, I was like, this is working.
And the high. Is good. I like when they were showing Mary and it's like, hang on again.
Yeah. Although it would have been really funny if that, if it were at the point where it's Carrie, since she had the whole like, drug induced dream.
we'll keep trying. I still think we should do one whole episode of just these experimental things and put it out on YouTube.
Oh, I think it would be hilarious. Yeah, just like too. Grab a bunch of songs and just try it with the theme song.
You're like a New
and
Year's
I actually
thing.
Think that Highway to Heaven could be a good one too. And that's a really long opening with all the clouds and stuff. So that really opens up, you know, some possibilities.
Maybe Revolution number 9 for Highway to Heaven.
Number nine.
The episode we're talking about tonight is A Most Precious Gift for Baby Palooza Dos.
It's the Baby Palooza too, so Little House again. I know we've had some. I think the Baby Palooza has been sort of heavy on the Little House, but that's okay because Little House has a lot of baby episodes. Yeah. So, yeah.
I mean, we could do any bonanza, being that Little Joe is like a real baby.
Well, we did the one when Hoss is born. Remember?
I mean, he's like, you know, Little Joe is treated like he's a little baby.
Oh well, yeah.
It's ridiculous.
Because I think we had that one, and then Little House, I think, we had for Baby Palooza on this podcast. But we also have a Dr. Quinn cast, of course, Baby Palooza.
Baby Palooza has pretty much made its way everywhere at this point.
It has, yeah. It's a pan podcast event.
This episode is also, I find this to be another outlier, like... The cinematography in this particular episode is completely different, I think, than in a lot of other episodes. We get angles we've never seen. We get a great shot of Carrie's stick wall.
Which is kind of interesting because the last one that we talked about, Be My Friend, also had some really interesting cinematography going on.
Yeah, there are ones. I think there are certain Little House episodes that just really nail it when it comes to cinematography, like Little Girl Lost is in particular, I think, one of their like nicest shot episodes. You know, and we get a lot of close-ups in this particular episode, which I think is interesting.
Well, a kind of tie-in with Little Girl Lost is that Carrie kind of has, she's carrying the B plot in this episode, which is actually pretty rare.
And I think it's a cute one. I don't know. I thought that the whole
I think she does all right with it. I think that they could have developed her more, like if they'd worked with the actresses. Maybe on like their acting and stuff, right? Like, I mean, they could have developed them, I think, and then they could have used Carrie more.
I think so.
So it is kind of interesting that they didn't, you know, that they just kind of decided to not really use the children already on the show and instead of, you know, adapt a bunch, but I don't know. Anyway, I think she does all right with it. I mean, as far as like, when you think about Carrie centric things, I mean, the God Sister obviously comes to mind.
Yeah.
And that episode is just crazy.
Yeah.
But I think that this is kind of like a nice little plot that Carrie's in that is
the God Sister.
It works.
Is perfect for.
Yeah, it is. It totally is.
Completely, right? It's, but you know, we have a couple cool, like, music things for this episode, too. Have you ever had, like, a little nest in your backyard or, you know, in.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah. And I did as well. And we have blue jays and red cardinals here, and they seem to nest in the same three spots, which is cute, you know? And this one time, it was like right during the pandemic, I took like a GoPro and I put it up there and I'm like looking at the, just looking at them. And I felt so bad because I guess they heard I made a rustling and they thought it was the mother coming. So it's like they're opening their mouth at the camera and I felt just so bad. But then the mother came like a minute later to feed them. So that was sweet. Aww. But it was they're kind of shocking looking. Kind of gross a little bit. Just like girl babies.
Yeah. I mean, most babies are weird at first, I guess.
Not the Ingalls baby. The Ingalls baby comes out perfectly clean about 3 months old, right?
Yeah, right. I mean, speaking of Ingalls babies and coming out and things, births. So the real Grace Ingalls, I just wanted to point out, because I know like we do this sort of like 100-year-ish,
yeah,
you know. So the real Grace Ingalls, who was born May 23rd, 1877, this episode aired February 27th, 1978, which is actually quite close.
Yeah.
We were talking about the 100-year thing. But, of course, as always happens on Little House, the timeline crumbles because only a few episodes later, when they're in Winoka, they have that football episode.
Right.
And at the end, when they say the first forward pass was in Winoka, and she gives the date, it's like November 29th, 1880.
Oh.
So Grace is born in like 1877. A few episodes later, it's 1880. So there's that. And also, it's like November 29th in that episode, because it looks pretty warm when they're playing football.
But, you know, Grace did come into the show a couple of years old, right? I mean, they kind of fast forward her age a little.
I mean, she seems like she grows up pretty fast, but I mean, like, she kind of seems like she's like an instant toddler.
Because this isn't her. Like, this isn't Wendy Lou Lee or her sister.
Right. Yeah, well, right. So, like, when they actually joined the show, I think in her book, didn't she say they were like 8 months old or something?
You know, I don't know. I don't remember.
I thought it was something like that. But anyway, yeah. And the little baby, I don't know who this little baby is that they use. I don't know who this little 3-month-old is.
It's Grace. It's probably a boy.
Used for the... Karen Grassley really had that baby on the show.
What do you mean? But when I was little, the first thing you tell a kid is if you see a bird's nest, you don't touch it. If you see a newborn kitten, you don't touch it. How could a farm girl, a country girl, such as Carrie, not know this?
Mm.
So she comes over to Pa. She's a troublemaker. She's killing. Whoops. I can't hear anything.
Hey, what you got there, darling?
Eggs!
Eggs! I'm going to sell them.
Oh, no, honey. You shouldn't have done that. You know, wild birds aren't like chickens.
But I didn't mean anything. I'll put them back.
Afraid they're not gonna hatch. Be too cold without their mama.
All because of me.
Hey, don't feel so bad. It wasn't your fault. You didn't know.
I know. I'll be their mama.
What?
I can keep them warm under my pillow, then they'll come out.
I'm afraid that won't work.
It'll work, Pa. They never saw their real mama. I'm gonna go put them under my pillow right now.
Fast forward 16 years, still has.
Yeah, mama. Right.
What's that smell? Oh, that's Carrie. Carrie and her rotten eggs. We're in Miss Beetle's. We're in the Sims house, not Miss Beetle. We're in the Sim Manor, where
the Sims kind of a nice house. I mean, yeah. Especially compared to the Ingalls.
Being a pig farmer kind of pays off, huh?
Yeah. Well, didn't that kind of come up in that episode with Luke and Nellie when, I mean, I know like Harry kind of derisively calls it like the Minnesota pig queen, but doesn't something come up about how like it's really lucrative or something?
Yeah.
I mean, like he has like a pretty big operation. Adam Sims. I think he has a pretty big farm.
It's just, I think the whole concept of being a pig farmer, like, you know, it just doesn't really appeal to Harriet.
Sometimes I think I'm dreaming. I mean, just when you think your life is totally planned out, something happens and you find yourself completely unprepared. I never even expected to be married.
You've nothing to worry about. As far as children...
What are you talking about? Like, of course she expected to be married at some point, right?
She might have thought. Okay, so Caroline, in real life, I think she was around, like, 38 when she had Grace.
Mm-hmm.
So let's just say she's like 38 here. And then I guess Miss Beetle / Mrs. Sims is around 38. I mean, she maybe was just sort of like, oh, I'm a spinster at this point.
Maybe.
And maybe just kind of thought that, like, she would sort of stay that way. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely possible. Do you think Adam is the same age?
He could be. I mean, so Luke is probably what? Let's say he's, like, 16.
Yeah, I guess he could have had him when he was 20.
I mean, like, that's possible. Or he could be, like, a few years older, yeah. You know. Maybe he's, like, around 40 or something.
I mean, how are you going to be a pig farmer if you're, you know, you have a kid? It's got to be tough.
So I'm thinking, like, the relationship that we have between, I brought this up in the notes that, because here they're very, like, chummy. Like, they're having this visit, and they seem like they're very chummy, and they're kind of talking about, you know, like, marriage and the babies, having babies and stuff like that. Which is, like, I mean, they're just being, like, pretty, they're acting like they have this, like, friendship, which I'm like, okay, what is their friendship? Because I'm trying to put it together. Like, when have we seen them together? I think when Miss Beetle breaks her leg or is injured in that accident, Caroline's over there.
Yeah.
But I mean, also, isn't that, she's, like, filling in as a teacher, though. So that's not even, like, an entirely social call. Because, like, she goes over there because she's, that's the Dumb Abel episode. She goes over there because she doesn't yet know what his letter is. So she goes to Miss Beetle for advice. And apparently Miss Beetle hadn't cracked that code yet either.
Yeah. At this point, it was...
T. What letter?
My letter is T.
What's that again, Abel?
My letter is T.
What sound does that make?
My letter is T.
No?
My sound is T.
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 We have to get a grand piano and bring this whole podcast on the road and do it live.
Yeah.
And whenever we play the clips, right, we'll actually get the actor because he's still around, you know. And we'll have him come and act it out and have somebody playing the piano.
My letter is
T. That would
be
amazing.
My sound is T.
It's going to be bigger than Simi Valley.
Yeah, but anyway, so, like, that's the only time I can recall seeing sort of, like, a visit between the two of them. And even that was, like, maybe not entirely social, but was to some extent. And then you point out that she yells at, Caroline yells at Miss Beetle, right, when Carrie fell down the air shaft.
Well, that, and also she wasn't so happy with her with sending the kids in the blizzard either.
That's true.
Yeah, nobody was. Everyone was kind of like, you crazy woman.
Yeah. Well, anyway, so it's just sort of like, I mean, I'm sure like that they don't dislike each other. Like, I think that they probably coexist in the town fine, but I'm just trying to place, like, are we supposed to be like, oh, they're friends, you know, like they hang out sometimes or.
I think this is her. I think this is Mrs. Sims, trying to get some motherly advice, kind of like, I'm about to have my first baby. And you're an expert, Carolyn. Maybe. I don't know.
Just look at Mary. She's in my classroom bitching out all the kids.
Yeah, seriously.
You know what you're doing. She bugs me in this episode. Yeah. Like, this is, I think, one of the worst Mary episodes.
I didn't like this version of Mary at all. Who's that dog up there?
Oh, wow. Look at that.
Is that a bulldog?
It is.
I'm trying to get a better shot.
Any of us.
Oh, Carolyn, by the time they come to me, they're 5 years old. Their lives are already formed.
Quit your yapping. I want to see the dog.
Even Luke was practically a young man when I married.
I can't really tell.
That is.
Could it be a Jack
it's
Russell?
Not a bull. I don't think that's a bulldog. What is that?
Fat Jack Russell.
I was actually going to be like, is that some kind of terrier, maybe? But...
I bet it's a hunting dog. Aw. That's Mrs. Sims. That's the first Mrs. Sims.
It is. There are numerous Sims in this show.
They have some nice stuff, too. The china is very nice.
Yeah.
The walls are finished. Their mantle is very nice. Too bad they didn't carve their initials in it.
I mean, I'm still waiting for Pa's excuse for why he never added on to the little house.
Yeah. Or even
there is finished. No excuse. He works at a lumber mill.
Right. You get everything wholesale, buddy. Come on. Come on.
Oh, and then, of course, well, we kind of skipped over, which is fine because we don't have to, like, do it verbatim. But Caroline does kind of say, like, oh, I'm sort of jealous that you're just starting out, you know.
Mm-hmm.
She, at this point, we do not yet know that she is pregnant, and she does not yet know that she's pregnant. But
look at that wig. Poor Charlotte Stewart. Because Charlotte Stewart had like a very nice hairstyle back then, but this.
That's pretty bad.
That's pretty bad. It's like Harpo.
Kind of is.
So back in the little house, Mary's going to be the teacher, and I'm going to play this. I'll play this little thing.
That alone, I just finished those. Mary, how many of these problems am I supposed to do?
Just the first 10.
What do you think Mary was doing back there in Ma and Pa's room?
I think we probably have a music clip for it.
Wait, which, for this scene? I'm confused.
Yeah. When she comes out of the room, hi, of course.
Oh, all right.
What was she doing back in the room?
I think you're talking about the music clip for next.
What was she doing?
It sure is.
Let's. It's been a couple weeks, people. I'm a little off my game here. Let's see. Let's see if it fits.
Mary, how many
problems
are supposed to
do?
Ma, can you help me with
this?
Sure, what do you want me to do?
I don't know if Mary's one to die, though.
I don't know, you never know.
She's a gummy bear stoner, I think.
Yeah.
Like, she just bites the heads off.
We have
yours. I don't know, she's a little high strung. She might be a pill popper.
She could use it. Yeah, she is.
Teacher, she looks less like one of the students.
Well, you're already growing up so fast, I can't keep track of you.
Well, she reminds me of a lovely young girl I knew once, name of Carolyn Quiner. I wonder whatever did happen to her.
Surprised Pa never used like a water bong to smoke his tobacco.
Oh, didn't you hear? She married a handsome young prince and lived happily ever after.
Mary's skin looks really good here. I mean,
yeah.
I mean, she has that, like, kind of look that I think people just immediately think she's a bitch, you know? But her actions in this particular episode, I don't like, so I'm with you on that.
And the way that she treats the kids when she's teaching, I'm like, last episode, you were one of the students.
Right.
And now you're on this, like, huge power trip, and you're just, like, yelling at them for, like, sucking at writing papers.
And you're going to go blind in a few episodes anyway, so whatever.
Yeah, that'll humble her.
That'll humble you. That'll get you down to everyone else's level when you're sleeping in the kitchen.
Carrie!
What is Carrie doing? Like, drawing, like, boobs or something? I don't know what she's doing.
Is it related to, like, the eggs?
She's like maybe she's drawing or something on the homework.
I'll tell you, if I'm a prince, then this must be one of the princesses whose bedtime is just about now. Say goodnight, Your Highness.
Good night, Carrie.
All right, so if we have to pay attention here, because this is where we get probably one of the best views of the stick wall.
There we go.
Look at this thing.
One of your nice warm covers, huh?
It's so gross. Ugh, look at that.
That's pretty incredible.
Captain Flat.
She does have that nice window, though.
I mean, that's pretty nice, but...
Although, I really don't... Okay, here's another thing with Pa. Curtains. Okay, why no curtains?
Just shutters.
Is there a reason that he could not put some curtains over the windows?
Yeah, or why couldn't Caroline make... We have a little mantle here I never know, so you have a little shelf on the top right.
Yeah. I really have this thing with... like windows. I don't like sleeping with windows like uncovered, because I don't like the possibility that like there could be something outside that you would see like in the middle of the night. It's like weird, you know, but like I just don't like that.
I know what you're saying. So
like the window needs to be covered. So like this I wouldn't like. It's like it's nice that she has a window and everything, but I wouldn't want to sleep by it uncovered.
Especially with like the creepers of like Walnut Grove. What's in there?
And like that clown circus guy showing up in the middle of the night that one time. Yeah.
Well, what about, like, so where is you and Pete's bedroom? Like, not that I'm asking, like, personal questions. Like, is it downstairs?
Are you asking for my address? Or, like, what's going on here? I'll just share that on the podcast.
Is it upstairs? Like, I'm saying, is it on ground level?
It's downstairs. So it's, like ground level.
Yeah. And that's how it was in my last house. Mm-hmm. But my window did face the backyard, so I didn't really feel that way. But I think if it faced, like, the side or some, I don't know. If I understand where you're coming from. I guess it depends on where it's pointed.
Yeah. And then, because ours, well, we did for a while, because that's actually what we're in right now, is the master bedroom of the house. But we didn't always even use the master bedroom, because we actually were using the bedroom upstairs for a while, which now has become a child's room.
Wonderful.
So then we, like, ended up switching, because then we were kind of like, it didn't really make sense for us to sleep, like, upstairs and have, like, a kid sleeping downstairs. You know, like, I was just kind of like, well, that's weird. Because, like, what if something happens? Or, like, you know, it's like we either need to be on the same floor or, like, we need to be downstairs. Mm-hmm. Like, but so then we ended up switching. So now we're back in what is actually, like, the master bedroom. And we have just one window on it. But it's sort of, it's one of those windows where it's kind of like a tall window, you know? So, like, it goes, like, low to the, like, between the floor and the bottom of the window, there's only, like, a few inches.
So,
and then it goes.
In my house, somebody at some point put in a den. Like, it's, like, an extension to the house. And one whole wall, like, is just windows. So it's not even a wall. It's just literally from, and it's, like, vaulted ceiling, so it goes really high, and the windows open up, like, sideways. They're very strange. But in there, I'm constantly, the way the TV is and everything, somebody could literally be standing on my sidewalk and watch TV with me. And it's just the weirdest thing in the whole world. So I'm always, like, putting the, like, blinds down and stuff.
Yeah. Well, really, even during the day, we often do have them down anyway. Sometimes the windows upstairs, we might, like, open up a bit, you know, during the day and just get some light or whatever. But if we're on the ground floor, like, say, like in the bedroom, if I were to just have, the blinds up on the window, it's, like, you would just be, like, people would be walking by in the street, like, at the same level as
hey,
you.
Hey, Kelly. <It's> just, what's up? How's your dogs?
Yeah.
Why don't you shut up?
How about you shut up?
So, let's see. So, Carrie's going to put her eggs in this little,
all in one basket, you could say.
Yeah, it's very
putting your eggs in one basket. Just
putting all our eggs in one basket.
It looks like a sock, maybe.
Yeah, or some.
Yeah.
They knitted, but definitely, yeah, it looks more like a sock than anything else.
It would be funny if Pa's, like, looking for his sock and he, like, can't find it.
He goes and just puts his foot in, and it's, like, covered in eggs. I'm surprised they didn't do something like that. Kind of like he's like, oh, here's my sock, and he just puts his foot in, crush, and you get that.
And then Carrie's like,
no. And then what he has to do is fix it. So that's where he goes, brings Garvey in, you know.
And then they just put some chicken eggs in the thing.
Yeah, that would be
like, amazing. She'll never notice.
Just put little dots on some of Carolyn's eggs. So, so here we go. We got one of the few moments where Caroline is sleeping in a little bit.
Good night, little birdies.
Good night!
This is kind of an interesting angle with the chickens coming out.
Yeah, I thought.
And how we see the house in the back.
I think it's kind of cute.
We don't see that side of the house very often.
There's a bunch of shots that we don't normally get. I'm going to point each and every one of them out.
You know who else doesn't see that side of the house very often? Stan Ivar, since he has just the front in his basement.
I wonder if he built the rest out of cardboard.
Well, that'd be awesome.
Like Amazon, you know, like you, when you order so much stuff on Amazon, you get these ridiculous boxes.
Oh my gosh, we've been trying to catch up to get rid of boxes for the longest time, pretty much since I had the first baby. Because it's like we're buying all this baby stuff. So it's like all comes in these boxes, right? Plus, like, we get dog food delivered on Amazon, we get cat food delivered on Amazon.
Yeah.
So it's just like all these boxes. It's like outrageous. Like, we can't even fit them in the recycling. Like, we cut them down, get as much out there, we can't even fit it.
Yeah.
And it's like, we're trying to get to a point where we just like, we're actually getting better. Like we're quite a bit better than we have been. But I'm like, I feel like there's never going to be a point where we don't have a box.
And don't you belong to Walmart too?
Yeah.
Walmart is ridiculous with the boxes. I would say they're in some ways worse than Amazon with the, like, you order something small and it's like this huge box.
Well, so when they deliver it to us, they like when we order from the store and they just put it in like plastic bags. But the same kind of concept, though, like there are so, like we end up with actually a lot of bags and like way more than we need because they'll have one thing in a bag.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, why did you do that? Like you could totally fit a bunch of stuff in the bag, but you put one thing in the bag.
Yeah, but
so
I'm
we'll
jealous.
Get like a bunch of bags. So there'll just be like all these bags on our doorstep with like one thing in them.
See, I'm jealous of this because, you know, I don't, eventually it'll probably make its way down there. But, you know, bags are like outlawed in New York. Like there's no plastic bag. You don't get a free bag. You have to pay for it.
Well, so we have, they're supposed to be like reusable plastic bags. So they're like.
Every bag can be reusable.
Well, but I mean, like, there's supposed to be something. So it's not like the cheap ones that, like, you know, everybody had, like, the cheap, thin ones.
Mm-hmm.
So they're supposed to be, they say that it can be used, like, 125 times. I don't even know who decided that. I don't even know, like, how, I don't get what happens on, like, if you try to use it 126 times.
Oh, my gosh. It explodes. It just dissolves. You should get a stamp in each one, and by the end, it's just full of complete holes. It's just mesh.
Yeah. But I mean, so the idea behind it is that you get these bags, right? And then I guess you're supposed to bring those back to the store to use them again. But I don't know that anybody does. I mean, if people have their bags, like, you know, like just like the like tote bags or whatever that people use.
Yeah.
So I feel like the people who are like wanting to not waste bags, like already have bags that they use. But now it's like the law that you have to have, like, you can't have these single use plastic bags.
So it is there. All right.
So it's like supposed to not be wasteful because you can't have these single use plastic bags, but everyone's like using them like single use bags. So I'm like, you're still going through like the same amount of bags.
There are two weird instances here in New York. I don't know if it's similar there, but there's one particular store I'm going to guess you don't have, and that's a supermarket called Bingo.
And we do not have that.
Bingo, and everyone should go to Google and look this up. It's basically a kosher supermarket, right? It's huge. It's a huge kosher supermarket. Like it's you want to become a super Jew today, you go to Bingo and you stock up. And they came to town and they took over like one of these huge supermarkets that went out of business. And this is like my favorite supermarket in the whole world for a number of reasons. And one is like, I can't believe the prices are so good, but the actual quality of everything is really, really good. I don't buy kosher meat because it's overly salted and it's actually very expensive. But I've been buying tons of vegetables there. But I went there and I'm just buying regular stuff, right? Nice challah bread, you know. I'm feeling, you know, real Jewish. And I go to the, you know, to pay. And they have bags. And I just felt like I had a time travel moment back to, like, 2018 or something. I'm like, I haven't seen bags. Do I have to pay for these or something? Like, no.
Wow.
They're looking at me like I'm crazy. I'm like, wow, bags. It's like cheap thrills, you know?
So I see on Wikipedia that they just opened their 225th store.
Bingo!
And it looks like it is the largest supermarket chain in Bosnia.
Whoa, I knew it.
Yeah, I know.
This episode.
So I think new experiment, though. I am going to start bringing one. I'm going to select one of these bags to bring to the store. And I'm going to see what happens on the 126th time.
Are you really going to do it 125 times?
I guess what I don't understand is like why the... Where did that limit come from and why specifically that?
I think
these and like bags what will nasty. Happen? I mean, because eventually, I guess what the bag just degrades or something or the plastic weakens. I don't know.
Do you think they have somebody out there testing it?
I guess.
Like at IKEA, they used to have this device that would push down on cushions and it would test how many times it could be sat on.
Yeah. I mean, maybe it is something like that.
Yeah, maybe.
But, I mean, I guess maybe is it just like, oh, well, the plastic will just degrade and it, like, won't be useful anymore? Kind of like how the SodaStream bottles expire.
Supposedly.
Yeah, that's like they have the date on the bottle. Yeah.
I still have one from, like, 6 years ago.
You're like, oh, it's supposed to be yellow like that.
It's nice. It's fine.
Yeah. Yeah, you're supposed to taste plastic when you drink from it.
It's supposed to be scratched up like that, and you can't even see the SodaStream logo anymore. It's fine. It's supposed to like leak out of the side.
This means you're not drinking it fast enough.
Exactly. Well, yeah. I mean, your dog's like drinking it out of the side while you're drinking. It's like, you know, it's a family thing. All right. I love SodaStream. I have to get back into that.
Yeah, I've been using it every day since we got our CO2 thing back, so.
Fancy times.
It is.
So, yeah, here we are. We have Caroline laying in, and we're going to, I don't know, we're going to juice this up a little bit, so. I didn't know that this would go on just for so long. Just for
the chickens.
You hear the bop, 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 bop. Here we go.
She looks so pretty old, curled up like a baby.
Maybe I should have clipped more. Mine is a little sleepier sounding. Although I like that song. I haven't heard that song in a very long time. I think you'll like this one. I'm not saying you'll like it more. I'm just simply saying you'll like it.
All right, let's do it.
I'm working on it. I'm like a DJ here. I have like the double headphones on. I don't.
You read my mind. I was just about to tell you we could do this one.
I'm so tired. My mind is on the brain.
Get your breakfast.
I love that song.
I love it too, actually. And I, a couple mornings ago, Pete was dropping me off at work and, it was on the Beatles station. Yeah. And I've always loved that song. But then I was like, this was like my song recently because I guess the last, like this week I've gotten a little bit better sleep, but I've been having like sleep issues, which I mean, happens a lot in pregnancy, but it just seems worse this time than last time.
Oh.
But anyway, like I was having all these nights where like I was just like barely sleeping, you know, or like I would, and then I talked to the doctor about it and the doctor's like, oh, you can take Benadryl to sleep. Like that's safe. Oh. But then like all the Benadryl did is I would still get like 4 hours of sleep a night, but it was just like, I would pass out, have like 4 hours of sleep, but then I get up at like 2:30 in the morning and then I'm up.
Yeah.
And then I'm like, I'm all like that. I have to, by the time I feel sleepy again, it's like time to go to work.
Yeah.
And then it's like, but I go to work and it's like, I've already been up for hours. Anyway, so I was totally like that. Like I was like, this was like my song because it's all like how he's so tired. He can't sleep. And he's basically like going crazy from not sleeping. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, that's it. This was like my song.
I actually, this is one of the, I've been digging around it for a long time. So I used to be in this band with this guy, Gustavo, and him and I covered that song a very, very long time ago. And it's one of the few songs that I recorded with him that I really regret, because what we did is, we like sampled his parents had this like beautiful grandfather clock and we sampled it. And so all of the music and everything aside from acoustic guitar is sampled. And I don't know. It's one of those things. One of these days I'll find it. And if I do, I'll share it. But it's it's a carbon copy of the Beatles version. It's not like we did anything special. It's not like Nine Inch Nails version.
Yeah, that was so funny when he started playing that though, because I was actually about to like send you the link to the be like, oh my gosh, we have to try this one too, because I just thought of it.
Yeah,
and
sure.
You did it. So I'm just kidding. That was amazing.
Yeah, that I really love that song. Like it's one of those few songs from the Beatles that I'm like, oh, that one makes me happy. That one's good. But yeah, so Caroline is sleeping in a little. She sits up and basically does what I do every morning.
Nothing. Just a dizzy spell.
Why, it's not normal? Please tell me that's normal.
Maybe take care to see Dr. Baker.
Charles, if I saw the doctor every time I had a twinge, the poor man would never get any sleep.
You sure?
Yes. And you'd never get any breakfast either. Aren't you hungry?
Yep. A couple eggs will do fine.
He sure is quick to put in his order, though.
Yeah, I know. And then he's like doing his little suspenders. He's all like, yeah all right. Where he's like all excited, like, we're back in business. She's exactly. Getting my breakfast.
Get my eggs, woman. And she does look pretty tired. I mean, she,
yeah.
So we're in the school. Mary's just back there doing her own, like, wrong. I'm surprised they didn't have her just X-ing out things constantly and, like, scribbling. That actually would be very funny to have.
1,300.
This is a funny little scene with Carrie where Mrs. Sims stands in front of her.
And 71, not including the Indians.
This is kind of like when you're a kid in school and your teacher, you know, bends over next to you or something and their butt's in your face.
Yeah.
What's going on here?
Now, of course, we have 38 states following the admission of Colorado in 1876.
You remember Colorado?
I sure do. I wish I thought to actually have that, but...
You remember Colorado?
5 seconds late isn't so bad.
Anyone know the population of our own state of Minnesota?
Not you, Mary. I'm surprised she didn't raise her hand.
Yes, Willie.
50,000.
Wrong.
Well, not quite. It's 400,706.
What about Walnut Grove?
By the way, so...
You could count the people in Walnut Grove, Nellie.
Right. I mean, if you... Basically, the number of people in Walnut Grove is almost the same number as the amount of times you can use one of those reusable bags.
Right, exactly. Everyone can use it once.
Yeah.
Walnut Grove has 127.
I mean, it's a fun fact, you know, 120. I bet it can go 127 uses.
I bet it could.
Yeah.
Soon it's going to be 128.
It's so funny, man. It's not even funny.
All right. Time for recess.
Yeah, it actually really isn't funny.
Mary's like, I don't get it.
No, you can take a break now. Thank you.
Is that because of Albert?
Is there a reason you're getting fat, Miss Beetle? I mean, Mrs. Sims.
You sure are eating a lot of apples, Mrs. Sims. So let's see. We get a little banter between Carrie and Mrs. Sims asking about babies and eggs. And I think that in a lot of ways, this would be the appropriate person to come to. Right,
sure.
You know, I'm surprised Carrie wouldn't go to her sisters and they would make like a goof on her. Like, no, Carrie, that's not where they come from. So let's see. And this is the angle that we don't get too often. And she's really just not feeling well, Caroline.
Mm-hmm.
And hold on 1 second. I'm trying to, there should be a cool song for this. So let's see if this kind of works for it.
I need a fix because I'm going down, down to the bits that I left uptown. I need a fix because I'm going down.
That camera work actually is kind of interesting as she's sitting down.
Yeah, I mean, it's all like handheld shaky. And this is, this particular angle we never see. This is like the mantle is on our left.
Yeah. Oh, and this is so not yet. The kitchen is new this season. At some point, they actually, I should take back my earlier statement about them having no curtains. They do have a curtain in the kitchen.
A curtain.
Of all the windows in the house, they decide that they're going to cover the kitchen window.
Right, the one that does not face the front.
Yeah. And that's kind of weird that he's coming in through the back.
Right, like what is that?
Because how often does that happen?
Never.
You have another one of those dizzy spells again?
I'm all right.
It's actually kind of weird they even have another door back there.
Right, like, well, I guess it's... I mean, I would want one. I like...
Well, I mean, I guess they probably...
You could sweep dirt right
out. Yeah.
And, they probably
still, though.
Yeah, I don't know. I think it's a good idea, but I don't know why he would choose that door over the front door.
Your lunch is ready.
Well, look, my lunch can wait. We're going to go to town.
What for?
We're going to see Dr. Baker.
Charles, there's nothing wrong with me.
Well, why don't we just let the doctor decide that, all right?
Let's. So we.
I thought that Charles practically was a doctor. That's certainly the impression I've gotten from this show.
Well, he wears many hats. He's the justice of the peace. He's reverend. He's the spokesperson for the town. He also did that that marketing thing with corn. Remember?
Oh, yeah, his MLM scheme.
MLM.
You know, the thing when he kind of fills in, like when Reverend Alden's not there, right. Is actually really accurate to kind of like rural churches at the time. Like, well, so how they talk about this in the show, like how Reverend Alden, how he serves other areas. Like, we know that he goes to Sleep Guy. There's mm-hmm. that town with like Miss Peel. I forget the name of the town. But, you know, like that he works in these other towns and like, you know, does services there and stuff.
She lives in Cypherinville.
Yeah. But anyway, so like that was sort of like in rural areas, that was actually like pretty common for like, you know, they would have like the reverend who would not be like, you know, in the church like every Sunday because they're kind of traveling around to these other towns that they also serve in. And then they would actually have people from the congregation kind of fill in, you know, which could be sort of like an elder of the congregation or, you know, just like a lay person who is appointed, you know, to kind of fill in. So that Charles does that is actually really accurate too. And we both like that Reverend Alden like serves, you know, multiple different towns. And then also that we see Charles on a somewhat regular basis, it seems, kind of like filling in and like, you know, doing the service in his stead is actually accurate how.
I think it was in the voice of Tinker Jones that we learned that he only comes to Walnut Grove once a month,
mm-hmm.
which I would imagine would be kind of true because if he is supporting like four churches, for instance, he right. would have to do this big, you know,
he's rotation. Kind of on like a rotation with yeah. them.
Maybe they should have had a spinoff. You think Wyatt would enjoy a spinoff of Reverend Alden?
Oh, I bet he would.
Doing the rotation.
But what do you think about it though? Really, Reverend Alden almost seems like he's on the show too much.
Yeah, for once a month?
Yeah, but it seems like he's almost in too many episodes for mm-hmm. him to, I don't know, it's weird.
But actually, you know, it's not the worst idea, I think, to have a spinoff of Reverend Alden where he goes to the different communities, you know, and each episode is like following four different communities. It'd be kind of interesting.
Yeah, it kind of would be interesting. And, like, you could follow the different communities and you kind of get it even, like, kind of from his perspective a little bit. It's, like, kind of, he's sort of, like, okay, so, like, Walnut Grove, like, he's not an outsider. I mean, like, he is their reverend, but he's not there all the time, too. So, like, he's not someone who's, like, full-time part of the town.
Right.
So it'd be kind of interesting. It's, like, you go to these different communities, this guy who's kind of, like, a part-timer.
Charles, I'm also a bounty hunter. and a vampire killer.
He goes by a different name in every town.
Yeah, that'd be awesome. That actually would be really amazing. I would have loved to see that. I kind of like this shot. We get a weird the lighting with and Caroline's shadow is kind of interesting.
I know what you're going to say. I don't really want to hear it.
So she thinks she's going through menopause, you know, in her late 30s.
Well, so it's...
Which isn't
This is actually
totally
weird for a couple of reasons. Right? I mean, like, there are women out there that for, you know, they just, like, go into menopause or, you know, even, like, perimenopause, which would be, like, the step before it, earlier than, like, what would be average. But 38 is young for that. And it's young enough for that that I would think that you'd be more, like, expecting that you're pregnant.
Mm-hmm.
And then more like if you found out that you weren't and that like you were going into menopause, that would be more of like the shock. Be like, what? But I'm only like 38, you know?
Caroline's confidence as somebody who can have a baby now is really kind of completely shattered, right? With the loss of her son. So I wonder if like in the back of her head, she's like, well, I, you know, even if I were pregnant, I don't even think I could, you know, have a baby. And that's got to be the fear of probably all parents, especially in the 19th century.
I mean, that's true. I mean, like, she might just be sort of like, maybe she's even sort of wanting to be kind of past that stage in her life, mm-hmm. because of such a painful loss.
Yeah.
You know, just kind of like not wanting to go there again. But then, you know, later on too, when she, in season seven, when she thinks she's pregnant, but it's really menopause.
Yeah, that was weird.
At that point, then she's really upset.
Yeah, you can't, nothing makes this woman happy.
Which even then, if we're, okay, so this is season four, if we're thinking she's like late 30s, even then, like by the time she went to menopause, she still was like early 40s, which is
still
like youngish, you know, kind of on the young side.
And did we determine that it actually was menopause? Or was
it in like season seven?
Yeah, or is it just that she wasn't pregnant? You know?
Doc Baker tells her that it's menopause, doesn't he?
Yeah, I think you
because she says that she hasn't had a cycle for like a couple of months, and then
I see. All right.
Yeah. Although actually, like, this would be not to get too technical, but actually would not be menopause yet, because like you have to not have a cycle for a full year, like, before you're considered like menopausal.
Right.
But it would be like it's ramping up, like the process is beginning or whatever.
Nah, man, you're only 11 months.
Yeah.
You come back.
But Charles insisted.
Tell me.
Stupid Charles.
What you think is wrong, Carolyn?
Wrong?
I like this whole thing. I like the little banter with him. I don't know how. I mean, I guess he's also just using an educated guess. I know we've talked about how would he determine that she's pregnant so matter-of-factly.
Well, and we talked about this on Dr. Quincast as well. When she goes to Andrew to get the confirmation, you know, when she was pregnant. And so I could have been prepared and looked this up because, just like with Dr. Quincast, I was like, I can't remember the dude's name.
But there was like
this, this I believe it was a French physician that this is named after, but it's basically.
What's his name?
I believe his name. maybe it was even Jack T.
What?
Jack.
My letter is T.
But anyway, just it's basically through like a pelvic exam, you know, that you can tell because there are like changes in the color and appearance of, you know, like the cervix and stuff, which becomes apparent pretty early in pregnancy, although I don't know like exactly how early they would be able to definitively determine that. But I mean, like, so he's probably doing something like that. I mean, we do know that like she was undressed, right? Yeah. And like other times in the show, when like when Nellie goes to the doctor and finds out she's pregnant, you know, she's getting dressed. So I mean, he probably is doing, I would assume, some sort of like, you know, pelvic exam.
I like his little privacy curtain.
Yeah, it's very nice. But yeah, so probably, you know, that in combination with like, you know, the woman is like, well, I haven't had a cycle or whatever, and
when I
piece it together, and then you're like, guess what?
When I was a kid, I don't know if you've ever seen these things, but you would go somewhere and you'd stand and get a shadow like this, and a person would just trace it, and then they would cut it out of paper, and that's what you would get, this like silhouette of yourself. It's a very 70s thing.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about, though.
Oh, it's kind of what I'm reminded of here.
I think maybe, though, the way Doc Baker tells is that he went to the Dollar Tree, to that aisle where they have the pregnancy test right next to the weed test.
Yes, that's awesome.
He's like, Carolyn, you're positive for weed.
And
you're pregnant.
Jack!
Nothing.
It sure is!
I'm just not 18 anymore.
18? What are we talking about here?
Pretty obvious, isn't it? I'm going through the change.
Aren't you rather young for that?
Well, it happens.
So that's your diagnosis, is it?
Yes.
I got a lot of patients who think they know more than I do. Now, I guess they could save a lot of money by figuring out their own ailments. Well, there's only one problem. They're never right.
I have an idea for when she's running. I don't know if this is going to work, but we'll see. It's from one of your clips of a song.
Okay.
Then there's something wrong.
Nothing that 9 months won't cure.
Also, why does he have this, like, creepy shadow there? Like, it's kind of like, is he, like, watching her?
Like, yeah, dressed. I don't know. That's weird. But then the fact that he says, like, nothing that 9 months won't cure suggests that this is really early on that he's figuring it out. So
he could have said nothing 9 months could cure, or in your case, three, or, like, 31 minutes.
What?
Remember that from Dr. Quinn? That guy that was like, what?
What? Congratulations.
And to me, too. I'm the father. Me, Doc Baker.
Wait, so she runs out and she's like, I smell sex and bacon. Wait, it's not working. It's not working. Wait, I have to do it without the music. Sorry.
Congratulations.
All right. I smell sex and candy here. Who's that lounging in my chair? Who's that casting devious stares in my direction? Surely is a dream. Aw.
I like it.
That's not bad, right?
And we see Paz throws his hat because he's all excited. So that's good.
I was going to do a high, high, high. But like, I go, we go again. That's
more. Oh, by the way, something that is not so much directly related to this episode, but I know that we've all wondered this with Carrie at the foot of the bed. You know, Ma and Pa from a privacy standpoint. I mean, I think that everybody's wondered that, right? Like, I remember being a kid watching the show and being like, how do they do it? How, like, because she's at the bed, like at the foot of the bed. So I actually have read that with kind of like lower income families that lived in like small houses, like single room houses or houses that were really small, that it actually was kind of a thing that happened that like, the husband and wife would like carry on with their relations and like there are kids in the room and stuff like that.
Can it be more graphic, please? I'm just kidding.
What was that?
Can it be more graphic, please?
Yeah. Well, when a man loves a woman very much.
She needs a hot dog and a donut.
Yeah. Well, anyway, so like that seems just like totally crazy, I think, probably.
Yes.
To us.
It's
but,
not,
That's crazy. And I suppose you could speculate about what sorts of maybe psychological damage would be the result of this. But anyway, that is like a thing that happened with in these kinds of situations.
See, I heard that every Wednesday they borrowed the privacy curtain from the doctor.
Yeah. Well, but I mean, the thing is, okay, so you could even, what I mean, even aside from that, I'm not saying that's what Ma and Pa did. I mean, I'm sure they found time somehow, somewhere.
I mean,
like, Charles, I mean, they made it work, right?
Charles had a very loose
so I'm not
schedule.
Saying that that's what they did, but I'm just saying that
Charles made his own hours. But yeah, I mean, it happens. It must happen.
And, yeah.
But yeah, that's something to think about.
Yeah.
So.
We're not animals, Mark.
We're not animals. He's passionate and loving that popcorn. So let's see. Laura goes up and she gets up there with Andy. She's like,
we should totally hit it again, but I get first dibs on it.
Whoops, sorry.
No, I'll be finishing soon. How come your mom's having another baby? Why not?
Because my pa can't keep his hands to himself.
Got three of you. Still, you're all girls. I suppose your pa wants a boy.
What's so great about boys anyway?
This is a cute... I think this is a very cute little moment, and I think it's pulled off really well.
Well, can you fix a barn roof?
Sure. Can you have a baby?
He's like, I don't know, I haven't tried yet.
He's like, can you...
We should totally hit it again, but I get first dibs on it.
I'm sure he'll convince himself after a few minutes. So let's see. Charles is has hired Andy to help around the barn. The homestead. What's he building? He's always building things.
Well, he's adding on to the house, I can tell you that.
Look at that rickety table he's working on. It does not look very safe.
Charles, supper's almost ready.
You're right there.
Andy, would you like to stay to supper?
Thanks, Mrs. Ingalls, but my mom will be expecting me.
Oh, all right. Laura, will you set the table, please?
I'll be back tomorrow.
Bye.
Bye. So, yeah, Charles and Andy have this deal, and Charles is putting him to work, and, you know, he's kind of like the sun.
They have those
never had.
Nice mountains. We get a nice view of the mountains that they have. They have a mountain view home.
You mean the prairie mountains?
Yeah.
Didn't Laura Ingalls Wilder write about that? How the mountains were snow-capped? the prairie mountains were snow-capped? And her brother Albert would climb them?
So these kind of shots right now are kind of interesting, too. How often do we have these kinds of shots, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of interesting.
Yeah, they are. They're nice. Even this.
Finish the roof, I'll find another job for you. How's that sound?
Sounds like crap. I don't want to work my whole life. Look at this.
Yeah. Pretty nice looking.
It is.
So I guess this is a key moment because, of course, Pa's all like, oh, what a great boy. Like, he's so lucky to have him. So then Ma's all like, well, okay. So, like, I mean, I think that a lot of the pressure she puts on herself in this episode really is like she puts it on herself. And I mean, like, I don't think that Pa is like, I mean, he even specifically is like, it's okay. Like, it's okay if it's a boy or a girl. Like, we don't have to like be so fixated on the boy. But like, I do also kind of get where she's coming from because it's like she lost the boy.
Yeah. Yeah.
And we do know that Charles would like to have a boy. And I mean, I do kind of get, and plus like she has like, I mean, the hormones and stuff, you know, probably make her a little bit more prone to like, you know.
I feel that him saying that he's fine with just a healthy baby is genuine, but he does make this one little comment later on and I'm like, it's kind of weird, you know?
Yeah.
He's like, it's enough. We tried it and it failed. You know, I forget exactly what.
Well, he says that thing where he's like, we had a son and he died. It's over. Like that's the way he says it. And I do actually think that's kind of a weird comment.
Yeah. That's the comment I mean. Let's see when Andy's going away, if this will work.
I'd love to change the world, but I don't know what to do.
All right.
Yeah, I think it was decent.
Sure. I give it
so we have another uncovered window at night.
Like, what's going on with that? I'm looking through. Another uncovered window. So this is where they have their little bedtime chat. He's like, you want to go for double baby? And she's like, no. Carrie's staring right at us.
There's no popcorn in the bed tonight.
Carrie's staring right at us. But yeah, this is where Charles is like, fine, I want a boy. It's fine. Like, let me sleep. Shut up. This is basically you the other night when you couldn't sleep.
Yeah.
Just any minute now, if I go to sleep right now, I'll get an extra 3.5 hours. I hate that. I hate it so much.
Yeah, and then it's like, and then you can't sleep because you're trying to like calculate how much sleep you can get.
I hate it so much. Bandit shows up, steals this lady's breakfast. I cannot tell what she's making. But when she does, look at this. This is ridiculous. When Bandit goes and runs away, it's kind of funny.
Shoo!
Oh, you bad dog.
Bandit! I'd love to
change the world. Just kidding.
That's actually, I liked it.
Yeah, it wasn't bad.
Bandit is a very deep and philosophical dog.
Oh, completely. I love Bandit. Little Bandito. That's his Spanish name.
Bandito.
So we have Madame Maria.
I belong to you.
I'm really sorry. He's never done anything like that before.
I don't know. I mean, I feel as though most dogs have done things like that before. My dog has certainly stolen food from me.
And I mean, he's called Bandit because he was like stealing a ride, which isn't like the same. But I mean, it's like
that's a great point. Yeah. So we have the lady who is a fortune teller. Now, one of the things that's weird is, you know, Laura falls into the trap of telling her everything, and then when she uses the information against her, she, by assuming, like, for instance, when Laura's saying that it's her and her two sisters, and then she says that my mom is waiting for her fifth, she's like, oh,
right,
sorry.
She blatantly gives her the information. Yeah.
So this is kind of the way, yeah.
And then she's all, like, shocked Pikachu-faced when the lady figures it out.
And I wrote in the notes, and this wasn't necessarily for you, but I am curious. Have you ever gone to a fortune teller?
I have not.
I've spoken to them, but I never, like, sat down and committed to it. I meant to clip a Pee-wee's Big Adventure thing for this. Have you ever seen Pee-wee's Big Adventure?
I have.
Oh, okay. Like, you know, the part where he's, you know, she's like, I see a bike. So she goes and basically tells Laura what she does. I'm going to play a little bit of it, and I want you just to kind of decipher what she's scooping into her bowl.
Children at home. Whoops. Her vocabulary is excellent.
My sister read about it. She's much smarter than I'll ever be.
But she'll never write a book, will she?
So there are more English children at home.
Two more. Will you tell my fortune?
Later, perhaps. I want to eat what's left before your dog returns.
It's like a piece of, it's like a brick or something.
I'm not sure. Are those like potatoes or something?
Oh, it was just square. She put a Rubik's Cube in there, I think.
Did you paint all those stars on your wagon?
So that looked like a potato.
Those stars are pentacles, meaning five pointed. The number five is the key to all things.
Okay, hold up a second. Did you paint all those stars on your wagon? No, it came that way. That just is the wagon.
They're all. Now, I am the youngest of five, so this resonates really deeply with me. It doesn't. I'm just kidding. I'm Carrie. I mean, I'm Grace.
5 days, 5 centuries, the fifth son, the fifth child.
Now, this also triggered something in my mind that I was going to ask you and do the research. Did Jack White have a reference to the fifth son in one of his songs?
The seventh son. I was actually just thinking about that. Yeah. Right. In Ball and Biscuit.
Yeah. All right.
Like, well, I might be your third man, girl, but it's the fact that I'm the seventh son.
So close. So close. He really dropped the ball on that for us.
Yeah, he did. He did make the Little House reference.
Thanks a lot, Jam 3. JW3. Does he have a middle name? Does Jack White have a middle name? Is it A. Jock 3?
Well, I don't know. Since he started going by Jack White, I mean, because his real name is Anthony Gillis. Jedgy. I mean, like, he was born Anthony Gillis.
Jedgy.
So.
Oh, no, A.G. What am I talking about? I'll call him Jedgy. Jedgy.
My mother's expecting her fifth baby right now.
Oh.
And this woman has a very strong prescription for her glasses.
Yeah, she does.
There's,
Bottle caps.
I have to send this to you. It's from the 70s. It's like a guy parodying Elton John, and he has wine glasses in his glasses.
Oh, nice.
With the stems, like, it's huge, and it's actually really, really hilarious.
My sympathies.
Not that I'm making fun of people, because my prescription is ridiculous.
Oh, I mean, my eyes are bad. Like, my, I mean, they're stable. Like, they haven't gotten worse for a long time. So for like over a decade, like probably almost 15 years, it's been stable. But yeah, my eyes are like, yeah, they're terrible. I can't see anything without glasses.
Yeah, I feel like I have to get an updated prescription, personally. So let's see. We're in the little house again. Got a little bandito there, just kind of hanging out.
Waiting to eat the eggs.
Yeah, exactly. As soon as she walks away, those eggs are mine. This is a Johnny Cash song called Egg Sucking Dog.
Mm-hmm.
What was she doing in there?
She was telling a bedtime story to her eggs.
Now look how they all laugh at her. I mean, I think it's more cute than goofy, but what an idiot!
Yeah, they're just like, that kid is so stupid.
It's like, we shouldn't have dropped her so much on her head.
They're like, sure are glad we're having another one to replace the stupid one.
Sure are. Do I have a sure did here? I have this.
It sure is.
But it's a good spot for a sure did here.
You sure did.
I told you you'd have to start the story earlier next time.
You sure did.
Hey, speaking of time, you two ought to be upstairs and in bed.
I've got to finish grading these papers, Mom.
All right, teacher. Laura, you going up, though?
Are they paying Mary, you think? Or is this just like an internship?
I don't know. I mean, I would think that when she takes over Foley, she'd get paid. And she already has been paid, like when she taught at Miss Peel Land.
Look at this box. It's pretty nice. Like, it has some inlay work on it.
Mm.
I've never seen this before. Not that I'm looking for it, but...
Yes, sir. Did you grade my paper yet?
I didn't have time with all your jabbering on about Madame Maria.
Well, I can't go to sleep until I know.
Yeah, well, you're gonna have to try. Go on upstairs.
All right.
If you listen closely, Laura's like, I better get 100 or I'm gonna slit your throat, asshole. I mean, she has to give her a little bit of a better grade, but she won't. She'll fail her if needed.
She'll probably grade her harder.
Yeah. What does that mean? So, yeah, we'll bring this forward a little bit, but we get this like really trippy scene where Laura comes into town. All of a sudden, Ma's super pregnant, right? She's like 6 months pregnant, 7 months pregnant.
Yeah, just suddenly she's popping.
Like, it feels like it's been 3 days since.
Well, every time that she's pregnant, it's the pregnancy happens in a single episode. Mm-hmm. Even like when she had the son, her whole pregnancy, he lived for months and then died, and it was a 2-part episode. But even like the whole second part was really just Laura being like up on the mountain, right? So really, like all in the span of a single episode, that's a lot of time crammed in one episode. That always happens when she has a baby.
But I find it, I don't remember the baby living so long, and is it really portrayed like the baby was around for a while? Because I think on the tombstone, it's from November to August. So that's like 10 months.
Yeah, I mean, right. So that's a while.
Yeah. So, I mean,
it's not a while. I mean, it's like a tragically short life. Right. But I mean, like it.
Yeah. But if
months
you have
passed.
You have
yeah.
this human being living with you for 10 months.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, it's a tragic, terrible thing. It's just a matter of, for whatever reason, I remember it being a shorter period of, or seeming shorter
mm-hmm.
for the show. It was only 2 episodes, that's why. So here Caroline goes into the, what would you call this, just
wagon,
camper, yeah, the wagon, which is like totally decked out, and
it's really pimped out.
Yeah. And I'm going to play music over because I think it kind of needs it.
I need a fix because I'm going down to the bits that I left uptown. I need a fix because I'm going down.
Are not in a condition to stand.
We should have some like Ravi Shankar like sitar music for this.
Actually, yeah, that would fit. Yeah. We should have thought of that.
I would. I love the purple drapes. I think they look cool. We never see colors like this. We never see anything like this. This whole shot.
It's kind of weird, too, because it seems like there's so much space in the wagon. But yeah, when we see it from the outside, it looks like a pretty small wagon.
Right. Like, what is this?
But then like, they go in, and it seems actually pretty expansive.
It's like bigger than a little house on the inside.
Well, and they're, like, the beach she walked through suggests room separation, right. Which I'm like, the little house doesn't even have
this. And she just has these, like, candles lit all the time. So, yeah, so she starts gazing into the, I always forget, crystal ball. And she's just basically talking about her, and I don't know. Is this worth playing through, you think?
I mean, she basically just is all like, oh, you're from far away. Your family's going to come visit after the baby's born. Oh, by the way, the baby's a boy.
And you know what? If anybody ever says, like, let me see if I can catch it right on it.
Shall I tell you about your expected child?
I think it's coming right now.
All right.
Give me your wedding ring.
Run, right?
Yeah. I lost my train of thought. It would be really funny, actually, since... like in the future, if like Ma looks back and then she was like, okay, so she was clearly wrong about the baby, right? So I guess when she had a girl, she would have known that this lady's full of, you know, nonsense. Crap. She's not like accurate. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But it's like, you're going to tell this woman about her future and you're going to leave out things like, oh, your family's going to come visit you, but your mom is going to be dead when she gets there.
Right.
And like just all this other stuff, like all the crazy tragedies this family is going through all the time. And she doesn't even touch it.
Nah. Well, and plus she's wrong, you know, on top of it all.
Well, right. So, I mean, like she's wrong anyway. So it's like she would have been wrong about, I'm sure, anything that she said. Mm-hmm. But it's just kind of funny that like, this family, like, if this family wants to know the future, it's like, yeah, let's just leave out all the tragic stuff.
And it's also like total gypsy type of behavior where it's kind of like, there's someone in your family with the letter M. Yes! You know? And they just kind of buy into it. People are...
Michael Landon!
Junior!
M is for please. Michael Landon Jr.
Look at this. It's huge. She's got tarot cards. All types of fun stuff. So yeah, she puts the ring on a necklace, on a chain, and holds it, and it sways back and forth. And Caroline, I'm just really surprised that she would even do this. I'm surprised Reverend wouldn't like kind of get in on some of this.
And what happens to this lady? I mean, she's just sort of here in this episode, but, I mean, does she skip town after this?
It would be funny if Charles is like, well, I'm going to go get our dime back.
Yeah.
Yeah, so she charges a dime for this, which is actually reasonable. What is that, like $253? Something like that.
Yeah, so I guess that's pretty cheap for kind of like a novelty type thing.
Novelty?
But, of course, Pa's not happy about it.
No, this is pretty
good. He was saving that money up for a snow globe.
Right. for Mary, only when she loses her vision. So we have...
that's another thing that this lady could have predicted. Mary going blind.
Yeah, like something like that, right? So here we have kind of a comic relief thing with Harriet dusting, and she's like singing this song. Here we go. See if it works.
Maybe not. I am the ass master. Come to dust your ass.
No, I thought that the words would come in sooner. Sorry.
I did actually think that the music worked well with the dusting.
Yeah. But this is a pretty funny scene, so I'm going to play.
Born like a baby.
We should totally hit it again, but I get first dibs on it.
The way she's coughing.
Mrs. Olsen?
Man, Eva Sims was in this
morning, too. I'm surprised to see you both out and about, considering your condition.
So the fortune teller told her that about the eggs. I didn't really get that. Why is it that Caroline is going to take out the eggs that are male? Like, does she think eating them will do something?
Because obviously at this point, it wouldn't do anything. I mean, right. It wouldn't do anything anyway, but I mean, like, at this point, the sex of the baby is well established.
Or maybe, I mean, I don't know, maybe she doesn't believe that.
Why not? I never felt better.
Well, I suppose I can always use the eggs.
Doesn't look like there are very many eggs in there, by the way.
Mm-mm.
But yeah, so Caroline's like, well, wait, I have to take Charles's. He needs his 12-egg omelet every morning. So she takes quite a few of them. We go back to the little house.
Really? What should you tell your...
Whoops. What are all these things? I always... These are like the seasonings that they always have.
I like what they're kept in.
But what does it say in the front? Like, it's the same word, like cad or something, or it says ginger, allspice, coriander, maybe mustard, pepper, and white pepper. I just don't know what the first letter is. Looks like Cass. Or, I don't know.
I shot Madame Maria today.
Really? What'd you do? Tell your fortune or something?
More than that.
What'd you tell your fortune or something? Why you share with the whole family?
I couldn't resist. She's such a funny lady.
Where do you hear what she said?
It's nothing much, really. It was the hocus pocus that was fun.
Oh, come on, Ma, tell us.
Well, she took my wedding ring. And
that's where I'd stop you. What?
Where's the ring? Where?
It would be funny if you all of a sudden look at the ring, it's a different ring. It's just like a twig.
Yeah. And then she held it up in front of me. You'll never guess what happened.
What happened?
That's actually clippable. What happened?
What?
What?
It began to swing back and forth across in front of me.
Music's pretty good.
So what?
Well, it means...
Okay, I am kind of, like, taking pause side there. Like, she's being really dramatic about it.
Yeah.
And it's kind of like, you're really playing this up.
Yeah. Well, you gotta make it worth the dime.
Have a boy.
Oh.
That's what she said. Silly, isn't it?
You bet it's silly. Can't imagine you spending hard-earned money for that.
This is where Charles would say something absolutely terrible. It's like, you're not capable of having a boy. You know? What?
Aww.
I know, it'd be terrible to say. I'm just saying, it's like, what could be that worst thing?
Whose fault would that be? Charles.
Well, I'd blame Carrie somehow.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's the sperm that decides the sex of the baby.
Well, what about...
Although, I mean, we did, I think, in a previous Baby Palooza, I brought up that I have seen that there's a theory that there was like a genetic reason in the family that like boys did not survive or thrive
in the Ingalls world.
Yeah.
It was only 10 cents. Some more coffee?
Yeah, thank you.
Aw, I don't know. She was having fun with it. He didn't have to, like, you know.
Yeah, I mean, I do think he does kind of come down a little bit hard on it. Especially when you could tell that she was kind of all into it.
Where did Carrie get this ring? Because Carrie's doing the same thing with on a piece of string.
I don't know. Did Ma take it off for some reason and Carrie got it? I mean, is that Ma's ring?
Imagine, I mean, that could have been a whole other story where Carrie loses the ring or something.
And then blames it on the fortune teller stealing it.
And then Charles goes and they burn it. They flip it, kind of like in the Dr. Quinn episode where they attack the Jewish guy.
Customer, come here. First Christmas.
So let's see. We're in the schoolhouse.
How come I got a D?
I wrote what you told me.
Well, you may have, Willie, but I couldn't read your writing.
Does this really need to be yelled at, like, right there? And it's like,
yeah, this isn't really, like, class. I just don't like this.
Like, I'll talk to you after class if you have any questions.
That's not fair. What do you expect me to do?
Practice would help.
Like, be a little bit... You know what? At the same time, these with when she was Miss Beetle, she really let Abel slip through the cracks. What's that, Abel?
My letter is T.
And thanks to Caroline, he was able to...
My letter is T.
Spell. I don't know. Lecturing like this, it's just not nice. It's not fair. Is it fair to say that Mary might have even potentially been meaner than Alice as a teacher?
I think so, yeah.
Now I want you to turn the paper over and write on the back, I will not argue with the teacher 50 times.
You're not the teacher. You're just the assistant.
You're like 2 years older than me.
Should I put the abbreviation for assistant in this? S?
S. I was actually like, I always want to abbreviate like assistant or associate as S because it's funny.
Yeah, I think it's pretty funny. It's, that's what it needs.
Ass blast.
Dummy 50 times. Dummy. Shut up.
Ooh, got him.
But why didn't... I don't know. She should have said, and Nelly, and you too. Nelly would be like, screw you, I'm not doing anything. Let's see, Alice comes in. This is the only time I think we see Alice.
What's wrong?
I was supposed to be doing an errand for the post office, but I had to tell you the news.
What happened?
Eva had her baby about an hour ago. Matthew Adam.
So you're being paid right now to work at the post office, but instead you're spreading gossip. Not gossip, but local news.
Typical government employee.
Exactly. I'm getting paid right now. Let's go have coffee and pie.
So it's a boy. Oh, it looks just like his pa. She's so excited. She said she can't wait for you to stop over and see him.
They show the baby. It looks exactly like the father. Like, for real, though. Not just like a baby. I don't understand why Caroline is so affected by Mrs. Sims having a boy. I mean, I know she wants to have a boy, and she's going to be disappointed if she doesn't have a boy, and she ends up not having a boy. But I just don't know why everything needs to be compared to her. Just,
well, I mean, I think that it is kind of a thing that people, I mean, so like in her situation, it's really just that she's hung up on having a boy.
Yeah.
But it could be comparable to, I mean, I do know that it is a thing that people kind of go through, like say like someone who's like infertile.
Mm-hmm.
They get like kind of have these like difficulty dealing with like people around them having babies because
right. Sure.
Like they can't have it. I mean, it's sort of like I think kind of comparable to that sort of thing, although it is an entirely different situation because Carolyn is healthily pregnant with a healthy baby, and it's just that she's afraid that it won't be a boy, so she's sort of like preemptively jealous. She doesn't even know at this point if it's gonna be a boy or a girl. Just kind of preemptively jealous that, but I think it's probably the same kind of idea where like you just want something really badly and then someone who's around you gets it. And then you're like, well, I want that.
Mm-hmm.
Even though it really is like, it does end up being a girl, of course. But at this point, she doesn't know that.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I just think like, the comparison thing just takes the whole joy out of it.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't seem fair to her most of all. It just, I don't know. I hope people don't really feel that way because I mean, the most important thing is just to have a healthy kid.
Well, and it's like, I think that I've actually thought this before in this episode that it's like, I don't know. You spent your whole pregnancy, like not even like enjoying being pregnant or anything, you know, like the whole time you were just like obsessed with this.
Well, even Charles does make that comment later, basically saying that the whole 9 months has been miserable, which, you know, it's pretty tough. Let's see. Do they talk about anything interesting in this scene? The baby
talk? That they were talking about going to see the new baby. And then she's like, everyone needs to shut up about the baby.
Enough. No baby talk. She's like, the next person says baby, I swear to you, I'm going to get a pan to the head. And she storms out, and she's, she's visibly upset. And, you know, it's so weird to me that she's upset like this when she very well could be having a boy. Like, it's at this point, she has no idea.
Yeah, which is what I was just saying. I mean, it really is like you're getting ahead of yourself here.
Yeah.
She already has Luke.
What difference does it make?
It makes a difference. You said so.
Oh, now, come on. Now, that isn't fair. We were joking. Now, we have a wonderful family.
We don't have a son. But we will, Charles. We will.
By the way, how weird is it that Laura would say that my ma is waiting for her fifth child? Right? Isn't it kind of strange to throw that number out there into the public? My mom's having a baby.
I don't know. I mean,
I don't know. I don't think the head count is necessary.
Oh, you mean like she should have just been like, oh, my mom's having a baby?
Yeah, not like my mom's waiting for the... Oh, well, I guess we're relating it to the pentacle and the five-pointed star. Yeah.
All right. Now, you don't know that for sure.
I know. I do.
She's right. She's not having a boy. That's, I mean, just let's end the episode. Yeah, I wish I had I have to put the music back in here. I don't think I have it. But I do hear somebody, she's like,
may I quote you on that?
Sorry. Made such a scene in there. Your supper's getting cold. Jack!
No, so... Poor Jack's not even in this episode.
Well, Jack is dead.
Yeah. She could still be in the episode. Their baby... Well, I don't... So, they're at the... Caroline visits the grave... And prays. This is a nice looking scene. It's a little bit long. But I feel like these are the trees that they kind of play at sometimes. Which would be a weird place to have the grave.
So hard to know where to begin.
So she prays and she's... It's weird because she does still doesn't pray for like healthy babies, just a boy.
Yeah.
CF.
Well, which you could also, I mean, at this point, even like praying that you're going to have a boy, but it's like you're so far along in the pregnancy that it's kind of, I mean, I don't want to like say it's silly to pray about, but it kind of is. You get what I'm saying? Because it's like the baby's established, like well established at this point.
Right, it's not like Bewitched where it's like, oh, it's a boy now.
So I mean, it's like, so you're praying that you're going to have a boy, but then I mean, like, what are you asking for here? Because it's like the baby's already established, so it's like, what if it's a girl, you want to just switch to a boy magically or something? Right. I don't know.
They go to, I think, church the next, well, uh-huh, the next day that they're having church. And the baby's there, and Caroline is just having a really tough time with this. And I feel as though this is very not Caroline. You know, like Caroline is, I think she's stronger than the way she's acting in this particular episode. And I'm not saying it's easy to just, you know, see somebody else have something that you want. But she doesn't even know if that's the outcome. And just, it is a bit bothersome. I think in some ways she's rude, but as soon, like most people, as soon as you see the baby, it totally kind of change, you know?
Carolyn?
It's like, ugh, what?
Oh, Carolyn, I wanted to see you. It's been ages.
I know. I'm sorry.
So the size of her Bible? It's huge.
Do you think that when there are some episodes that I've noticed that it says it's an illustrated Bible, which would explain why it's so large, because there'd be illustrations. But I also, whenever we see her reading it, we see the pages sometimes, I've never noticed any illustrations, so I don't know where I'd they have to are.
Eva.
It's a little Chinese baby. What? What just happened?
Yeah.
Eva.
Aw. How old do you think that baby is? I'm saying 3 months. Maybe maybe younger?
Might be a little younger than 3 months. I mean, it does actually look like it's pretty young.
Yeah.
Not newborn, but...
We should, like, Photoshop, like, Sully's face in there or something.
I don't believe he's real. He's mine. Sometimes I watch him sleep as if he's going to disappear.
Come on, we're going to be late.
He has to say it twice, which is kind of funny.
Adam must be so proud of you. Of you both. I've never been so happy in my whole life. It shows.
Eva, you're gonna be late.
All right.
Shut up already.
Come on, you crazy bee.
Right. She can see the baby later. Caroline is probably using chemicals that she shouldn't be using. Maybe she's using bear fat. I don't know. But she's shining up the... what is this? A bassinet? Not really a bassinet.
A crib, yeah, I guess.
Yeah. But she's shining it up and having a little heart-to-heart with Charles, and it kind of goes south pretty quickly.
By our son.
Why do you have to keep saying that all the time? My son, I mean, we don't know it's going to be a boy.
Because I want a boy.
So when Rami was born, like, we thought he was going to be a girl because the position he was in the photo, they just couldn't get a picture, you know. But they were like, nope, definitely a girl. So I was convinced I was having a girl, and I was kind of, I wanted a boy. I'll just be honest. I wanted a boy, but it was having a girl. So I was like, fine. You know, like, I don't care. As long as the baby's healthy. And that's generally the way I felt. And then when he was a boy, I was like, oh, okay, that's even better.
Nice little surprise. So you didn't realize till he was born that he was a boy?
But at the, fully. I mean, I think maybe a month beforehand, they were like, wait a minute. That might be a schmeckle. Like, we're not really sure. Yeah, it's just one of those things. And his position was very awkward. And... But I don't know, like, I really came to grips that I really didn't care, you know, as long as the baby was healthy. And I feel like most people probably feel that way. In retrospect, I'm, you know, I feel as though having a boy is easier. But I speak to friends of mine who only have to, my neighbor has four daughters. And he has the greatest relationship with them. So it's just, I think it's, you have to just build what you can from these relationships. It's important, but it's not that important,
you know? Yeah, well, I mean, like, the first time I was pregnant, I mean, if I were able to choose, like, I would have chosen a boy, which I mean, my first baby was a daughter, and obviously that's, like, nothing against her, but it was just like, you know, like, I think people do kind of have their own preferences just for whatever reason. People sort of like, and I mean, I don't think that, and I think that really the important thing is that it's like the pregnancy goes well, the baby's healthy.
Yeah.
Like, that's the important thing. Like, but it is also, I think it's okay to have preferences. Like, I mean, people kind of act like you can't have preferences because it's like, well, just if the baby's healthy. I don't think it's like a bad thing to be like, well, I kind of want to have, you know, boy or girl.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, if it's, it would be a different story if like you end up having the other, you know, whatever you didn't, wouldn't have preferred. And then you end up like, I don't know, you're like a shitty parent or something. Cause like, you know what I mean? Like that would be a totally different story, but I'm like, it's not really, I think it's okay to have a preference, but then, I mean, but then also like ultimately then like looking back, it's kind of like, I don't know, like why did I, like, it doesn't matter, you know, like I was kind of like, you know, like when I found out, I was like a little bit disappointed at first, but then I mean, I got over it pretty fast, you know, and then I was like, okay, so it's a girl.
Yeah, and then your baby came and your baby's awesome. And you're like,
well, right. So, right. And then like now that I have the baby and like, it's like, like, I mean, woo! I guess then it's kind of like, well, it's like kind of silly. Like, I don't know. Yeah. Like, it doesn't really matter because, you know, it's like the baby is still like the cool baby. Yeah. But
Jules rules.
Jules does rule.
For you.
Well, I don't. Not if it means 9 months of misery.
So it's been miserable? That's where my fight would go. So what are you saying?
You made this cradle for our son.
Carolyn, I made the cradle for our child.
You want a boy. I saw you with Andy working together.
Exactly. If I want to,
I mean, that was like months ago.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like.
Psycho.
Yeah. Work on the farm, I hire him. I don't have to father.
You don't understand.
If I want a boy, I'll just take one off the street. You'll see.
Yeah, or he'll like host another reform camp, farm reform camp.
Bring me your worst.
All right, what if you weren't pregnant? What if you weren't pregnant? And we would.
I like that they're doing this in the barn, right? They're not having a fight in the house with the kids.
It would be funny if they cut to the kids at the table and they can hear it, though.
Yeah.
They'd be like, yikes.
We wouldn't have anything to worry about, would we?
Laura's like smoking a pipe.
Although, this going back to our earlier conversation, maybe this explains when they get things done, right? They go have their adult discussions in the barn.
Yeah.
And then a little, like, you know, makeup afterwards.
It's kind of gross in there, though. Hopefully they don't bring the romance. And, you know.
Yeah.
Carolyn, when we had the girls, all we cared about was having a healthy baby. That's all.
I don't want to smell saddle oil.
Well, of course I want him to be healthy.
Him! Why does it always have to be him?
What, are you jealous?
Right. What about me? I'm your husband.
Right.
We had a son and he died. It's over.
I don't like that.
I really, yeah, that really didn't sit well with me. Like, it's over. We're no more boys. Right?
Well, or even just to be like, oh, get over it. Like, he's dead. Yeah, he's gone. Yeah. Get over it. Like, I don't like that. Like, I mean, it's, I guess, like, I don't like it. I don't like the way it's phrased. I mean, stuff like that. When you deal with, like, a tragic thing like that, well, which I can't speak from, like, personal experience
Thank goodness, something like this.
But, I mean, like, I guess it's like, what do you mean if someone, like, if you get over something? I mean, like, what do you mean by get over something? Because something like that, I don't think you ever, like, really, really get over, like, where you're like,
yeah,
I mean, you know what I mean? But I mean, like, to an extent, you get over it enough that you have to function day to day, right? So, I mean, like,
but you know,
you do kind of get to a point where, like, you're kind of not, like, you know, you're like over it enough that you're like carrying on with life.
But also, your spouse is clearly, not your spouse, but Charles's, like, spouse is clearly having issues moving forward with this, right?
Right.
It's clear she's still stuck on this, and this is what's keeping her up at night, and this is what she's upset about. I don't think yelling that our son died is just a very proactive way.
It's not productive, no.
It's not very Charles Ingalls.
No.
And you know what it is? It's bluntly honest. But I don't know. It could be nicer. That's all.
God, you're as bad as Carrie with her dead eggs trying to give birth to birds.
I mean, Charles Charles is clearly at this point, he's very affected by it too.
Yes.
I mean, I do feel for him, even in having, he's trying to deal with the situation, and I understand how frustrated he is, but I mean, I still don't think, I don't think he should have phrased it like that to her.
I also think that it was, I mean, Carrie's a little kid, right?
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that that needed to be brought up the way that he brought it up. I don't know. It's just,
yeah.
But yeah, he's clearly going through some stuff. They're all going through some serious stuff that I think gets overlooked in this particular episode. And these people, you know, they, there's leftover trauma.
Yeah. Well, it is kind of interesting to sort of see Charles and Caroline. I mean, how often do we really see them have any sort of difficulty in their marriage? So it is kind of interesting to kind of see them dealing with something like this, where their marriage is kind of under a strain right now. And they're dealing with this. They're going through this. They're both being affected by it. I mean, it's kind of interesting because the family goes through a lot of tragedy, but it's not really often that we see their marriage kind of like going through a strain as a result.
Yeah.
But I also do think that, I mean, people go through stuff, right? And like, I mean, people go through hard situations in life. And obviously when people go through kind of go through hard situations, the way that they are kind of acting and dealing with it can affect, you know, the day-to-day life and, like, your family life and, like, you know, your relationship and stuff. So, I mean, I do think it's kind of realistic the way that they're showing them sort of having.
Yeah, I mean, I like it. It makes me think, it makes me think that really a lot of thought has gone into this particular script. We don't always get this deep with these, you know, with this couple.
Right.
Yeah, it's good to see it.
It's nothing like that. Actually, it's both Carolyn and myself. I'm just at my wit's end, and it's a problem I just can't work out with the girls in the house, and I was wondering if I...
You bring them on over here. They can stay with us as long as you want.
Did he actually just say it's trauma I can't work out?
Did he?
Wanted to talk to you. It's about Carolyn.
Not the baby.
No, no, it's... It's nothing like that. Actually, it's both Carolyn and myself. I'm just at my wit's end, and it's a problem I just can't work out with a girl.
Oh, problem. I thought he said it's trauma, and I was like, wow, that's, like, really advanced of him. Yeah. I mean, it is trauma is what it is, right? But it's just like, wow. Go Charles. Charles Ingalls, psychiatrist.
He's got the, he's writing the DSM-1.
Yeah.
That's what he's reading in the, you know, it's just a pamphlet at this point. So let's see, Jonathan is with Carrie. He basically mentions that they have a nest in their barn, in the Garvey barn, and birds have hatched. So let's see, we are going to, like, bring Carrie into the mix and her eggs.
You're going to be my girl for a little while.
Wait, what?
My girl! My girl! My girl!
Thomas J. needs his glasses.
Well, now, Miss Carrie, looks like you're going to be my girl for a little while.
What's some creepy stuff right there?
What's that?
My eggs. I'm going to hatch them.
Oh, I'm afraid that just won't happen.
It has to.
You cut right to, like, them frying the eggs.
Well, you got to be real careful with eggs. You got to put them up high so that nobody will step on them when they pop out.
I never thought of that.
I'll tell you what.
Look at that hill. Even Albert Ingalls couldn't climb that hill. That is like, that's a 45 degree angle right there. That's insane.
That's pretty nuts.
Like, if you were to have.
It'd be funny if, like, oh, sorry, I didn't mean to cut you, but, like, in the background, the class is doing their field trip right now, and, like, that is the hill. Yeah. You just see them, like, climbing up it in the background.
If you had to go up to that hill, that's, like, seriously, like, a 5-hour hike or something.
Yeah, it is. That's crazy. Nuts.
Let's put them in my barn.
They're like mining cobalt or something over there. That's ridiculous.
I've got an empty nest up there.
I would say that they might be on in Hawaii, and that's a volcano or something. That's nuts. Yeah.
It's kind of high, like a tree. They'll be safe up there.
Well.
Wait, what did he say about...
I'll tell you what. Let's put them in my barn. I've got an empty nest up there. It's kind of high, like...
Cheap one.
Like a tree. They'll be safe up there.
Well,
he handed us that one.
Yeah.
All right.
I guarantee no one has ever played that song at that moment, ever.
It's totally unique.
You'll never find the combination that we
and
find.
That's what you get at Landed Nation.
Every time, 100% of the time. 7 days a week, we never close.
Yeah. Longest episode ever.
We never even take breaks. Like,
yeah.
Like TV series are like, they have 8 episodes for like 3 years. You know?
Yeah.
What do? We put out like, on average, 50 episodes a year, and you have 2 kids in the meantime.
Yeah. I know. We're amazing. We do it all.
It's incredible. It's incredible.
Yeah, we are. We're amazing.
Amazing.
I think in the notes we both agreed that this that Merlin Olsen seems like really nice and like just like his character. Actually, Jonathan doesn't really seem this nice kind of later on. I mean, like, he's not like he has some issues, right? When we see him like with his wife and stuff, he's kind of a like sometimes.
Yeah, he's
but
very
he seems
kind.
Really nice here.
He's very kind in this episode. He's like the gentle giant in this. So let's see. We go back and Caroline is like...
in labor.
Yeah, like, oh, cool. We're going to be able to just hang out tonight and relax.
Carol.
Charles. It's almost time.
For what?
So I think that it's, I mean, I guess it was good timing that he just dropped the kids off, right? Because now she's in labor.
But why isn't Alice a part of this? I was thinking, why wouldn't Alice, like, he can't run and get Alice, right? But I would imagine having Alice stay with them would be helpful. At the very least, out of all the people who are available in this episode.
Yeah, but I guess, like, because Charles, like, is all, like, I want to be alone to work this problem out.
Yeah, I guess they didn't expect her to go into labor right away.
Yeah, I guess not.
Back at the Garvey house, that it's so small. They love squeezing up a ton of kids into one little spot. As we'll learn
later.
They're
all used to it.
We have Jonathan and Andy sleeping in the same room, bunk beds. Carrie wakes up to go check on her chickens or go to the outhouse. I'm not really sure. And Charles is like, you're going to live.
Yeah, that would be good.
And actually, let me just see how this would sound. Come on.
Yes. That's it.
That's funny.
All right, it's almost worse.
The that's it part was pretty funny.
Yeah, that's it. Carrie goes up and she sees the chicks, which is cute. We hear from a distance that the baby is born. We hear the little slap. Because I guess they couldn't really do suction back then. Be far less violent. You'd think they would just do some type of suction, right?
I mean, I guess they just didn't have the device, right? Oh, and then here we have, this is Dr. Ingalls, of course, who just delivered the baby.
Charles, is the baby all right?
What baby?
The baby's just fine.
Baby's a little too quiet right now.
Yeah, I don't like that. There we go.
But it's all right, isn't it?
I told you the baby's fine.
Caroline's like, all right, make me the biggest cup of coffee. Get me a tuna hero. I want as much tuna as I can eat in one sitting.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to my Subway cold
cut. Yeah, you're going to do cold cuts. I was thinking about that. Cold cut combo! Cold cut combo, baby. Subway should have a special thing. When you have a baby, you get a free cold cut combo.
That would actually be amazing.
That, I mean, it would be one of those cute little things where it's like, hey, bring in, you know,
bring in your newborn for a cold cut combo.
For everyone in the family. I'll take Jules.
Just take a look for yourself, Ma.
Even this, we don't normally see the ceiling, which is just wood planks, which is the bottom of the loft.
Yeah, which is kind of interesting. And, you know, as a ceiling, I don't hate it.
No. It reminds me of underneath my deck, you know?
Mm.
And because I was under there raking out these leaves that collect there. And I just decided to kind of relax down there with Toodles. And, yeah, it was nice and cool down there.
Just the boys hanging out.
I was like, I'm like Albert, living under the stairs.
Beautiful. Oh, hello. Oh, daddy's beautiful. I mean, so that baby is clearly not newborn, and they never are on TV. But, I mean, look at the size of that thing. That did not just come out of you.
No. It's super clean, too. So the thing that's funny is they do mention, like, well, what are we going to name the baby? Because she's a girl. And the only names that you've come up with are what? Frederick? No, was it?
Graham and Nathaniel.
Graham and Nathaniel. No, all right, so I don't mind those names, but not with the last name of Ingalls. You know, Nathaniel Ingalls. It doesn't seem to roll off the tongue. Or Graham Ingalls.
I mean, I kind of like the name Nathaniel.
I like the name. But not with Ingalls. For some reason, I don't think that it flows.
Nathaniel Ingalls.
Yeah, I don't know. It just doesn't work. Mm. I forbid it. It's not a Nate Ingalls, maybe.
I feel wonderful.
She also looks great.
She's like, I feel wonderful. I'm bleeding all over the bed.
Right, exactly. These two do not have the faces of people who just, you know, like him helping with the delivery and her actually delivering.
Well, his shirt is so clean, so how'd that happen?
He rolled up his sleeves. That's all.
Carolyn Ingalls.
All right. I love this tone of Michael Landon, where he has the little bit of the throat sound where he's gonna cry a little bit, but he's gonna hold it back just enough.
Yeah, he pulls it off really well.
He's the type of guy who could easily just, all right, let's go.
What do you mean, what? We have a problem here, you know.
How could we have a problem?
So when he said this, I thought he was gonna say we need more room or something. We're gonna blow out. We're gonna add rooms. Nope.
Charles, just look at her.
Because we have to name her, and the only names you chose were Graham and Nathaniel.
Oh, yeah!
And.
Jack!
Maybe.
I love you.
I love you.
He's a cute baby. All babies are cute, though. I mean, in my opinion, anyway. I rarely, it's like, you have to see the baby. You know, it's like in Seinfeld,
it's
the baby is ugly. I always thought it was very funny. That baby is very moist.
Yeah, it looks very sweaty.
Yeah, like they kind of put Vaseline on him. I don't know if I remember this right, but I want to say that this was a boy. I don't know that for sure, though.
It kind of looks like a boy, even though, like, it's really hard to tell at this age. I mean,
he's got a little mustache. Yeah. A little goatee. It's Hank. Baby Hank. Hank, yeah, well, Hank would have been a good name. Hank Ingalls. There you go. Hans Ingalls.
I was just thinking Hans Ingalls.
Yeah, it's not
Hans. Bad. I like the name Hans, actually. That's a cool name. Hans.
You hear that little, that arrangement, like kind of like the baby music, like the mobile.
Yeah.
It's like little house music.
We didn't learn until years later about all the worry Ma went through, but it wasn't important, she said, because we were all blessed by the coming of baby Grace.
This is actually kind of like Grace-a-palooza, too, because Be My Friend, the baby is named Grace.
Oh, that's true. Abel, how do you spell Grace?
My letter is T. My sound is T.
Actually, I should just clip where it just goes T.
Yeah.
T.
Aw. I don't think so.
This sounds a little Christmassy all of a sudden.
It does, actually.
Was the longest shot through a window that I've seen on the show in a while. I wonder one last time.
I'd love to change the world, but I don't know what to do. So I'll leave it up.
Yeah, if it went a little bit longer, it'd be perfect.
Yeah.
That was pretty good.
It's pretty good.
Yeah, not bad. But Kelly, thank you very much for doing this Land in Nation. We hit, this might be the longest Land in Nation ever. It's almost 2 hours.
Whoa, whoa, whoa.
On a weeknight.
You gotta get to
sleep. We all send our love and gratitude to Baby Palooza, you. And
Baby Palooza me.
Yeah,
Baby Palooza
to the baby.
On account of me.
Well, on account of the baby, really. I don't know.
Yeah.
We're not going to give you the credit. We're giving the baby the credit.
Yeah, I've had very little to do with the whole thing.
No, but we're all excited. We all can't wait to learn about Sully.
The little baby. Michael Landon Jr.
The little Michael. That's the actual name, though. Michael Landon Jr.
Yeah, even though there already is a Michael Landon Jr. So,
yeah, but that's like the first name, Michael Landon Jr. That'd be incredible. Mike, can I call him Mike? No, it's Michael Landon Jr.
Yeah, you have to say the whole thing. That actually is just the whole first name, Michael Landon Jr. It's all one word, Michael Landon Jr.
It's triple name.
Yes.
That actually would be really incredible. Like, I'm surprised somebody hasn't like created, this is the longest name given to anybody ever, you know, just a ridiculous stream of all of your favorite characters. Michael Landon Jr., Sully Wolf, Michaela.
Sully Wolf.
Sully Wolf would have been a good name for him. Byron Wolf, Sully.
Medicine chick.
Medicine chick. Welcome to Dr. Quinn Medicine Chick. All right. Well, you have a good night. Thank you so much. People should tune in, should head over to LandonNation.com. They should look us up on Facebook. That's where all the fun is really happening.
Check out Dr. Quinncast.
Yeah, Dr. Quinncast.
Also, Baby Palooza going on over there.
Yeah, and it's crept over to Walnut Grove Cast as well.
Yeah, so it's like I said, it's a pan podcast endeavor,
and
Baby Palooza touches all corners of the world.
Yeah, it's gonna be an exciting time for you mostly.
Yeah,
for you and your husband mostly. Yeah,
and for our listeners,
and Jules.
excitement for everybody.
It is.